This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, all you beautiful motherfuckers? This is Heavy Metal.
And I'm
hard. That was the best job I could do since I'm filling in.
I'm sorry, you do not qualify. Next! I don't know if that was someone throwing up in a toilet or not. Next!
What is up, you cockroach-banging motherfuckers? I'm Kevin Metal.
It was kind of close, but next!
What is up, you motherfucker fuckity-fuck-fucks? This is Kevin Metal from Down Under. Hoorah!
And I'm Matty Studios, and you're listening to Heavy Meta. Woo! All right, folks. We've had a series of introductions, and resumes have come in. As you know, Kevin Metal's not here. He is, quote, banging chicks on the beach, unquote. From his Twitter feed, he's having a great fucking time, so I don't know why he would be here.
At least he hasn't posted any pictures.
He has. There's DMs to multiple people. We don't share those because of copyright issues, but let me just say this. He has proven to many of us that we are doing it wrong, and he is doing it right tonight. Yeah, but in 82 episodes, this is the first without Mr. Metal, so I tried to find you a good replacement, folks. As you heard off the top of the cast, the best person was probably not even in this continent. He was from Down Under. but he did a good job. So tonight on the show, folks, we've got... I brought TSG on for you. Say hello, sir.
The irony is that Kevy had actually... kind of asked me a couple weeks ago, and I was thinking, as a replacement, I am probably the antithesis to him as a host. So thanks for the invite. I will try very hard to interrupt everyone, yell about Mono Red, and get really plowed by the two-hour mark, and kind of hate Kevy at about the two-and-a-half-hour mark, telling him not to talk about cities. We'll see how it goes. I've definitely had a long weekend, a rocky montage, if you will, with the Kraken, trying to get ready for this experience. To fill in for him and not be myself, but I don't know how well it's going to work out.
I'm impressed. Well, if you fail, there is someone who knows a little something about Scotch. That's Jeremy Schofield. As you know, this is not his... He didn't come on here as a guest.
I lost the bet.
Yeah, there was a bet occurred. I won't even mention the show that he lost the bet on because...
Yeah, it's not very good.
It's dirty. It's just dirty. But he's on here. This is his punishment. There has been bleaching. There has been certain scenarios. I'm going to say this. Your intro was horrible.
It was terrible.
But I will say this. He bent over and showed me what he bleached, and that's impressive. So I can't really fault you because there's no visuals on this cast yet. So if you can't see it, I'm sorry. You're missing out, folks. But welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
You couldn't have said that with a flatter, more disappointed tone. Do you have that shock color around your neck? Or do they got like the... You're almost like you're talking to the muffled water hood that, you know, they're about to waterboard you. You know? We don't like that response. Water? And to start the show off, folks, I brought on Kelly, as you know. Welcome to the show, Kelly. He is probably, without a doubt, the best tournament organizer. I'm sorry to all the other tournament organizers, but you're not as good. in Ontario, Canada, probably not the world, there's an event going on this Saturday, and I wanted to bring him on off the top of the show because I'm going to be there, Durfington's going to be there, and I don't know, a bunch of the regular Heavy Metal SVU crews might show up and drop appearances.
This is getting to be awesome every day. Mr. Awesome Sauce is going to be there with his tattoo. So, you know, come see that.
He'll be there. You know what? It's funny.
He'll take off his shirt too.
Oh yeah, he'll take off his shirt at the drop of a hat. But it's funny. I was talking with a few people, and they're starting to call the Ontario or the Toronto crew that seems to keep showing up. It's like, are you guys like this like podcast rat pack? Like that just seems to keep like showing up and with scotches and drinks in your hands. And we're like, hey man, I can't fault that. That's a bad way to be represented, I guess. I don't know. But yeah. What is this tournament? Tell me about it really quickly. What's going down?
All right. This is episode 2 of 5. So this is what I'm doing with the Southern Ontario Magic Society, which started as a Facebook group, and it's now grown into an event series, community, hub, all that jazz. So this is the second event. There are 5 qualifiers, and then at the end of the summer, we're going to have an invitational with the best performing players throughout all 5 events. So this is qualifier number 2. It's modern constructed. It's $30 to enter, $2,500 prize pool, and then the top 8 are guaranteed a seat in the invitational, which is going to be a $6,000 prize pool. So that's pretty insane.
That's sweet, dude.
Tell me you guys go by like SOMUS for short. I like the Southern Ontario Magic Series.
That's it. It's the Psalms.
So musky. You're so musky, man.
Southern Ontario. What's going on in Northern Ontario? Why can't you just take over all of Ontario?
Yeah, there's... see, you've never been to Northern Ontario by that
state.
Basically, in Northern Ontario, I'm sorry.
There's a fucking nickel, and that's it.
Why can't you just, like, if it was me, I would just be like, it's all of Ontario, if that was the case. I mean, granted, it's been a little while since I've been back home, and I don't really go any further north than Orillia, but I would say you could probably take over all of Ontario with the series.
There's then people
the
in Thunder
the
Bay.
Thunder Bay or invitation.
Have a tournament there, and I'm not going to Thunder Bay for a tournament. I'm sorry.
Going to Thunder Bay is like going to frickin' Florida. It's that far away.
From wow. Toronto. Okay. Oh, not in its level of niceness, but more of its distance to go somewhere.
I was more referring to the incidents of like zombie eating and bizarre things that occur.
So for all of our American listeners, Thunder Bay is a city in Ontario, Canada, as well as Orillia, Toronto, and several other places. I recommend looking it up. I also like the idea of making this cast as Canadian as possible. Well, as long as Kelly is on the segment, I think that is hilarious.
So should I be playing
for all of our American listeners? They should know that Canadians take most of their vacations to places like Florida, which may seem weird to you, but that is where most Canadian tourists like to go.
This is very popular as well.
All I'm gonna say is Hinterland. Who Hinterland music should have been playing during that whole thing there? Yes. So this tournament sounds awesome, dude. I'm gonna be there. I'm actually gonna be playing in the modern tournament. Hopefully, Awesome Sauce and me can get
I'm scrounging
Turbo
too.
Twin.
I'm pulling in some favors, getting some cards together for this.
I do not have the paper cards for Rug Turbo Twin, but that's what I've been playing on Moto, so I think I can do pretty well. I can hold my own. We'll see. And if I scrub out, I believe we're gonna conspiracy draft.
You betcha. Mark at Worlds Collide is hooking us up with some conspiracy products, so we're gonna get our conspiracy draft on. And then, speaking of like community people coming together and doing awesome shit, so this guy messages me, Brian Bogdan, who's just a local Toronto player, and he's like, dude, I just stumbled upon a box in my basement. It's got 24 packs of Tempest Block.
What?
Can we draft Tempest Block at this tournament? And I'm like, hell yeah, we can draft Tempest Block. He's like, I'll give it to you cheap. Like, I don't know, what, $50 a player? I was like, let's say 60 and we'll put a Wasteland in for first place. Like, we're going to have a Tempest Block draft,
which is awesome.
Pretty nuts.
Holy shit. I haven't played Tempest in like a bagillion years. That's wicked. So yeah, if you're in the area, people, come on down, check it out. I will be giving away as Marcel and the beautiful, beautiful Brainstorm Brewery crew sent me a gigantic case of like 1,000 heavy meta squid token RK posts. Yes. So I'm going to bring a whole box. I'll bring like 500 of them and I'll give some away, man. I'll make sure at least everyone gets one who shows up. Because those are so sweet, man. Those are so sweet. So.
Yeah, those are special.
We'll make this awesome, Boa. So anyone, come on down, check it out this Saturday.
The
Seneca College.
Yeah, it's at the Noonan campus of Seneca. For people in Toronto, SOMS-SMG.com. Or jump on Facebook or hit us up on Twitter. We'll get you in touch with how to get there, how to pre-reg. There's a couple pre-reg prizes and all that. So sweet. Get on, sign up, check it out. Durf's going to be there. We just got his brand new playmat printed up. Ooh. He just finished a new playmat art. So he's given us a couple of those to give away. And even, if it's kosher, said we can give one away on the cast tonight.
What?
So, yeah.
All right, well, my mailing address is as follows.
You swag whore. No, you already got a free hoodie. You're going to get that shit.
Free? I worked my ass off for that shit.
So let me know if I'm out of line, but this is what I was thinking for the Durf Playmat giveaway.
All right.
Tweet at Maddie or Durf as to what Durf's next Playmat art should be. Just a concept art. This is give him ideas, give him some inspiration, because he likes doing stuff and he likes doing what the people want to see. So if you've got, this one is mono black. I'm not going to say anymore.
Oh, is
ooh.
I just took my suggestion for this one from GP Toronto. I was telling him that he should do one like this.
Oh, sick! Well, see, it's already working. So let's do it again. Let's make another one.
All right, I'm tweeting it now. We'll see who responds.
All right. Amazing. Another thing that I should give a shout-out to, and we might have to edit this out. I'll talk to the guys at Face-to-Face. But
well, go ahead and say it. You know I edit things so well.
Yeah, exactly. So the end of September is going to be the Mana Deprived Super Series in Toronto. So we're working together with them, the Southern Ontario Magic Society. So the Saturday, September 27th, is going to be the MDSS out at Seneca College. The Sunday, we're going to host the Invitational. So it's going to be like 6K open tournament on Saturday, 6K Invitational tournament on Sunday, 12K weekend, insane, tons of cool shit. It's going to be so much fun. So that's September 27th, 28th. We'll beat the shit out of that when we get closer to it, but...
All right, Kelly.
Cheers,
sounds like
man.
A plan, man. I'm going to let you go because there's many listens that are like, I didn't want to listen to 30 minutes of ads. So
yeah.
It's not an ad. They just don't want to listen to it because they don't live in the greater Southern Ontario area the day before a tournament.
Northern Ontario listeners.
Yeah, sorry, Northern Ontario. Hey, well, TSG, you need to set up a something going on down there. Then we could do, like... By country series.
By country. International is what I like to call it.
Yeah, well, that's
by country.
Hey, I'm drinking a couple Innocent Guns rum finishes here. I'm not going to be accurate with words.
I mean, I'm definitely interested in seeing the international SOMAS magic tournaments, whatever it takes.
Here's what I want to say, though, is like this tournament series. Like, you know how every neighborhood, every community has that, like, Facebook group? This tournament series started with a Facebook group. Like, the couple guys who ran the Facebook group got a hold of me, and they were like, hey, do you want to be a part of this? You want to help us run a tournament series? And I was like, hell yeah. And so we just started working together and put this together. There's no, like, one backing store. There's no, like... you know, single vendor sponsoring this. You know, we got together, we reached out to a couple of like the smaller vendors in the neighborhood and say like, is this something you want to be a part of? We presented them like a plan saying this is how you could contribute. This is what it would do for you. So this is as much as like, this is a plug for my tournament series. It's also like a model that I want people to like think about and say like, man, this is something I could do too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, anything that gets people making good tournaments, I'm all for it, man. I think that's great.
Yeah. So if you got questions or whatever, hit me up on Twitter or Facebook or email. I'm always happy to help cool things happen. So let me know.
Awesome, buddy. All right, man. We'll see you on Saturday, dude.
Peace. Take care. See you
later.
So hot.
He's so hot. So, folks, that's that out of the way. We are going to jump into our next segment. Correct?
Segments.
We got segments. Apparently people don't like that we have segments, but fuck it. I don't care.
I read the show notes with the other guys, and the other guys laughed at me.
We used to do everything just off the cuff, but now we try to do things a little better. I don't know if the organization is helping Kevy or not, but it sure as hell encourages him to drink more. So let's talk real quickly about, has anyone seen the new E3 Duels trailer for Magic? The Planeswalkers, Duels of the Planeswalkers. You got an evil Garruk hunting people.
I saw it. I mean, I don't really know if it's supposed to give me a hard-on or not. I don't really care that much. I don't know if there's a lot of leaps forward in this product. Who really follows Duels closely? Anybody?
Not more I used to, because it used to be like this awesome tool to get people hooked on it. Like, you know, the first one's free crack hit. But now it's just kind of the same thing. Like, when they put the sealed deck thing in there, that was kind of neat, but...
Hey, you can build your own decks now. I mean, I watched it. I think I'm more of a fan of this one than the last couple ones. I think they're really trying to push stuff. I like the whoever they're paying to do the intros and model up all the characters. I mean, Garruk looks really good. All the 3D looks cool. It looks like Jace Bellerin is in this with some funky mask or something. Like, I saw Liliana the Veil in the trailer that actually puts on the veil. So it's kind of alluding to that there's, you know, new versions of all these characters. But as far as the whole, like, planeswalker hunting horror kind of feel, it feels really heavy in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go, like I said last time, if they go for it, and we have cool shit that reflects this in the game, in M15 when it comes out, I think this is great. I mean, I talk to a lot of new players that, like, just love this. This is how they blow their money, right? They're looking at me and they're like, how much is a Vintage Master Draft? 45 tickets? Okay.
Is it really 45 tickets to play Vintage Masters?
It is 45 tickets.
Holy.
We will get to Vintage Masters in a second, but...
My goodness.
But do you even play? Like, because I didn't play the last Duels. I downloaded it, then I never played it on the iPad. So...
I think that the sealed deck building portion of last year's one was really the biggest deal, and I think gave people a lot. I know that when the games, in the first couple of years, not being able to truly customize your decks was a really big deal. And in the last couple of iterations, the fact that you can at least do some minor editing to your decks in the constructed side, I mean, not even touching the sealed deck side, was a really big deal. And obviously, the real question is, what is this product really intended for? Who's the target audience, and what can people of all different skill levels get out of it? Because Wizards has been very clear that it's an introductory product. It's meant to introduce players to the game. So people like us, you know, people on this podcast, and I'm guessing people that listen to this podcast, it's going to be a little harder to kind of reel them into this product. Now, last year with the sealed deck option, I think that got my $10. You know, that and the scavenging ooze, that's what got my $10.
Yeah.
But I'm still looking for the thing that's going to get my $10 this year, but so far I haven't seen it.
See, I bought it. I bought last year's. I bought for the scavenger news, which I think most people did. The year before, I actually ended up buying it because I wanted a tool to try and get the wife into the game, and like that's what I find it for. Like, I've gifted copies of it to people who have asked me about Magic.
Yep.
And that's what its appeal is to me, is that it is a neatly packaged way to kind of push something on someone in a way that they can kind of get access to it on their computer. They don't have to have cards all over the place, that they can kind of get a basic idea of what I'm talking about when I say that I flew to a tournament.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 100% agreed with that. The Duels for me really is like something I just bought to teach the kids,
yeah.
Which is... I mean, they love that. They're still playing 2012, I think. they're still playing that one. They love it, like just battling with the deck. So,
well, that's a perfect example of, you know, how does Wizards market to anybody to buy this game every single year? I mean, people that I know that have started playing Magic in the last 18 months through Duels of the Planeswalkers were like, I don't get it. I have this game. I've learned how to play Magic. I bought my deck builder's toolkit or my planeswalker deck or whatever. Why do I need to buy the next one? It's not even an add-on to the game I already have, unlike the previous patches from the last year. What is this one introducing that, well, I couldn't do that I want to do?
Okay, so check this analogy out. So I've been watching E3 always fascinating to see what games are coming out, and especially in the second year of the console. Usually that's when the games that have been in dev for 18 months or 2 years, they start to come out. So it looks really exciting. One thing that came out was the new Street Fighter game, which is the 9th iteration, or is the 6th iteration? Whatever. It's the same fucking
game. You can make
game.
Up a number most of our audience isn't going to know or care.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fighting game kind of dude. Is Polish Tomas will attest to you.
Are you a Street Fighter or are you a Smash Brother?
I'm a Tekken. I specialize in Tekken and Soul Calibur. Those were my jam. I'd play Street Fighter until it moved to the fancy 3D Street Fighter. But what's interesting is someone made the analogy that the like, well, Dudes of the Planeswalker is just like another iteration of Street Fighter. So what 4 new characters do I get and play in the same ship? And I was like, well, that's not really what it is. And then they were like, you know, this person knows very little about Magic, and they're like, well, what do you do? I'm like, well, there's 4 sets released every year, and they all really do have, like, bears and, you know, vanilla creatures, and it's the same old end of the battlefield effects, but it's just skinned differently. It's, of course, way more in-depth, but I was like, yeah, it's kind of like that. You know, like, you get the flavor, and it's kind of the same thing every time, like, you know, and they try to make it as interesting as possible, but they don't innovate it nearly as much as what, you know, or they should. So maybe Duels is kind of that minimal changing thing that every year it's just there to get the newer percentage of people hooked into the train, right? Like, once you're in, not everyone stays, but the people that do pushes you into the next part of the game and so forth and so on. But
I mean, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I actually got Wizards employees to eventually tell me straight out that, you know, having that Duels of the Planeswalkers logo on the front of the Xbox store, the PlayStation Network store, is what is the portal to get gamers either re-energized by a game they played a long time ago or to pick up Magic for the first time. So even if they just spit-polished their stuff over and over again and released a new title, you know, EA Sports Series, it'll still generate enough kind of like buzz around the game that it'll generate the effect they want. What I'm really saying is, okay, all that shit is not for us. Am I going to bother buying this one because it looks a little cleaner than last year? Maybe it's got the new Garrick in it or whatever. Do I really give a shit? Am I going to tell my friends, yeah, definitely pick up the new Duels? Because everything I've seen so far, none of that has interested me as a casual competitive player that knows players of all skill levels. I'm not going to introduce this product to them.
It goes even a step further to saying, like, I think about a hockey game, NHL, you know, whatever the recent one is. If you're going to get somebody who's going to get interested in it, you want to have something that's relevant to the current, you know, sets that are in the stores and stuff like that. So it has to be rebranded. It has to be, you know, redone up because it has to be relevant to what's happening right now. And I think it might be a thing where it's like I pick it up every couple of years just to kind of see new features that they put in there. Maybe they finally do some stuff. Part of I don't want to get it is because it just tilts me that this is a very well put together product for what it is. And we still have Magic Online, which is that part's awkward, but it's really just going to come down to whichever, like, if they're going to give me a good promo card, I'm going to buy it.
Oh, okay. Well, they know how to hook in the tournament players. That's what's worked for them the last few years, whether it was really sweet artwork on Titans or brand new scavenging oozes before it hit standard environment. Yeah, that works for us. But I'm saying, like, literally right now, they're just giving away Duels 2014. And if I knew people that wanted to start playing Magic from the ground up, I'd be like, look, it's like free on Steam. It's 75% off on Xbox. Mm-hmm. Like, pick that up. That'll teach you how to play Magic. Don't bother looking at this new flashy trailer for anything. Like, you don't need that to get into the better game. And if that kind of trend continues, I'm better off just distributing free copies of Duels 2014 and 13 than being like, oh, yeah, you got to get the new one.
Well, that's the thing. They should get rid of those old ones. They should just cut them out. They should pretend like they're not, then burn them. Because what you're going to get is you're going to get a person who gets all excited, and they're like, oh, man, I can't wait to play Innistrad. Hear that? Like, they get that out of here. It's like, I can't wait to play with, you know, random card. I can't wait to play with a Titan. Nope, none of those.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, moving on from Duels, I mean, I think it's going to be a product that should be around. It works. We've said it many times. I think for what it is, it's great. I just think the theme of this year's Duels is very interesting. It's very adult. It feels very horror-based, which is kind of shocking if it's an introductory kind of target, although based on E3, which is like, all I heard was catchphrases of, we're listening to you, and we've heard your requests, and you like zombies. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the generic 13 to 24-year-old male population just wants horror and zombies and stuff like that, and that's what Magic is following based on probably user feedback or data feedback they're collecting. I have no idea, but...
Yeah, whatever. All I'm trying to say is that as competitive players, anyone that listens to this podcast should know that this product don't... I'm probably not going to spend my money on it. I'm probably not going to be super excited about it. And anyone around you that has a raging hard-on for it, I hope they're new to the game of Magic. And if they aren't, like, all right, whatever. Like, that's great. I'd rather just play with the M set. And most people don't even want to play with that either. So...
Hey, me and Kevy and a lot of people bashed M14 to the ground. I have to say, based on spoilers so far, 15 looks really interesting. I don't know if
they
look...
It's so weird to me because, like,
seen
of like every M set after like M11, it all kind of has the same feel to it. So I really don't know what has captured your attention so much more this time around than the prior year.
You know what it is? I like the Soul series, the Souls of Ravnica and Zendikar and that. I think that's really interesting. Just looking at some of the leech stuff, some of the cards look just a shit ton more interesting. I just felt like last year was 2013 copy-paste, add scavenging use and mutavault.
Okay.
You know? And this year we are going to get new Jace, I can't remember which new ones we're getting, but we're getting three new Planeswalkers plus Evil Dark Yurk. I mean, it just feels a lot more exciting and it feels like there's a lot more shit in it this time. And maybe they're like, yeah, we really, you know, didn't go as far as we should have. So maybe 15, they're going to do well. Also, now, here, the one thing that I'm most excited about, and I know this is very controversial, is I really do like that they designed 15 cards by people that aren't Magic. So, like, the guy from Plants and Zombies, and I can't remember the whole list of other people, but...
George from Plants and Zombies. Edmund McMillan from Team Meat, like Super Meat Boy. Yep. There's Gabe and Tycho. Sorry, that's not their real names. The guys from Penny Arcade, et cetera. You know, you get the idea. Yes, that looks like a new layer of fun.
To me, that's great.
My parting question on the issue is, how many more years until the girls start to go to, like, core set pre-releases?
Oh man, that's a hot button topic. So so it's interesting. So at my, there's like a couple games here I frequent in and about, and I have seen a total of 5 girls, and they've mostly been girlfriends of guys who are playing there. Maybe 2, I think there's 2 players that will show up. In all honesty, I think midnight pre-releases are no place for women at all.
Oh, okay. That's a little
no place for anybody at all.
Is that like a pants optional pre-release? Like, I don't get it.
It's just not a friendly environment. It just doesn't seem like what Magic is trying to sell as, hey, it's fun, come on down, everybody, everyone.
You could just say that it's not family-oriented at midnight.
Yeah, maybe that's true, and maybe a lot of the game stores that you play in aren't in safe locations for, like, women to feel comfortable. Like, there's that, too, and I think, like, maybe if they just stop with this midnight pre-release bullshit, because maybe I'm just getting old, but I'm like, man, that's crazy. Everybody would just have it in the daytime, you know, 8 a.m.
I'm right there with you on that one. Midnight pre-releases are for...
I just can't do it.
On all kinds of things I don't want to mention,
yeah.
and the jobless.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, and the jobs. I honestly just can't do midnight pre-releases anymore. And by the time, like, the last one I did, by the time it was so horribly run, it was like 4 in the morning, and I couldn't even concentrate anymore, and no one gave a shit. So, like, I really think, like, maybe if they made it bright, light morning time, I don't know, Saturday morning.
Skirting the issue, though. Let's say it's Sunday at noon, and it's a beautiful day out in a wonderful neighborhood. When are you going to bring the studio girls to that sounded awkward. I don't want to say that.
I thought you were meaning just females in general.
Your daughters. When are you going to bring them to a pre-release? I mean, the M set is like...
Oh, the studios girls. Ah, good one. Actually, you know, it's funny. They asked me last time. They were like, when can we come to one of the things? And I'm like, well... I'm like, there isn't really much you can do unless you're, like, really going to try and play. And I've seen a few people bring their younger kids, and regardless of their girls or boys, I've seen kids like under 10, Although I played some very, very good opponents that are young. It's just, I've seen some players that are learning the game. And I don't really think pre-release is the time for that. I would much rather.
For that.
Well, is it?
What's wrong with you? You're like just bashing pre-releases. Like, no, and like saying that you can't bring new people to them.
No.
They're the premier event for new people. This is the tournament that people don't play tournaments go to.
Okay, maybe like where I play, it's a little more competitive.
Like, do you play in like just like a dumpster or something?
All I know is that Maddie is painting a picture of LGSs in the ghetto with a bunch of like pantsless guys. Yeah. Like hurling something at each other at midnight. It doesn't sound like a pretty picture to me, but it doesn't sound like a game store I've ever been in.
I'll tell you.
F&M like attendance, like how many people do you guys get for like an F&M?
Oh, like 100.
About 100.
No. Pre-release, we get like 100, 120.
Okay, yeah.
F&M like 40, 50.
Okay, so we're about the same size. Like the stores that we go to, like we got about 5 girls who show up to play, and they all play, and then, like, at some of the other stores nearby, like, there's some young people, like, there's one store that just has a lot of young people at it, young boys, young girls, and, like, at pre-releases, games days, they come out to those tournaments, they play, and if they get, like, a win, like, they're the people who count game wins, not match wins.
Right.
And, like, they are stoked if they get that game win. And, like,
Sure. Yeah, but
that's exactly what you're trying to build up. It's like, they're not there to crush somebody and get a playmat.
No. Yeah, that's not what I was trying to get at. What I was trying to say is, like, there are people that, like, because I'm fine. I'll play with all the new guys because I actually love teaching and seeing them, you know, master the game. But there's a lot of people that play for different reasons, and they shark those type of players. And it's just not a friendly, like, I've seen things that you shouldn't see. It's just like, that's not cool, man.
Yeah, and it's a shark chain. That's the game plan.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
scum a kid, you scum them.
More like I punch. Jeremy has taken
a darker path or line of play on this than I would have gone. But,
okay, so here's my solution. So, like, what I would like to see is, there's, you know, keep the midnight pre-releases, whatever, for you hardcore guys that just have to do
sure.
it.
Sure.
Like, right?
The Animal House of pre-releases.
Yeah,
so I'm not
exactly.
asking you to bring your girls to that pre-release.
No, I would never, right.
To bring them to the Sunshine Happy Rainbows pre-release.
Yeah. So, like, I've talked to a few people in the area, and, like, we're trying to, like, the thing that's been battered around is, like, is there a way to do, like, a Sunday afternoon, like, Sunday afternoon, where it's just, like, only new players? And the reason is the games are a lot slower. There's a lot of reading of the cards, and it's like you want it to be happy and friendly, and it's a teaching environment, not like hurry up, the clock is running out, kind of like, you know, Voltron, you know, like guys that are just trying to get the win. So that's what I was just hoping to see, like if store owners would just play it smart, you know, and say, hey, if you're new, don't come at midnight. You should come on Sunday morning. You know, like, maybe there's a way to do that. I don't know. Maybe
there are definitely ways to do that. And I hate to say this, but you might have to become a little more involved at your LGS of choice to make those kind of things happen.
Yeah.
And the judge program is one of those ways to do it. Just, you know, getting involved with events is another way to do that. I mean, I know there are stores out there that have success that offer, you know, pre-releases with like a $5 kickback if you are a player signed up for a new DCI card at that event. I mean, that's one way to get new players to participate in a particular flight, or to have
a
female discount, or whatever you want to do to encourage that, you know, less competitive crowd. Not to say that women can't be competitive, but I'm talking about this particular scenario to get those people to come in and play. And it's funny because you have access to like this kind of like burgeoning target market where it's like young girls exposed to Magic. Is duels the next step for you? Okay, well, if they're really, you know, if they enjoy that, like let's say your older girl can. You know, kind of build a sealed deck in Duels of the Planeswalkers, it's like, okay, well, what's really stopping you from taking her to a course at pre-release? Now I've heard a lot of things that are stopping you. What's it going to take to get over that hurdle?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly what it is like, you should write a manifesto and then I could deliver it to all these people around here because there really isn't any emphasis. This area that I'm in is all about money. And so no one... The stores, like, don't need to do anything. They just need to
do they not realize that the casual players...
No, they don't.
From getting new players.
They don't care. I'll take all the heat for it. All the stores in you know, my area don't give a fuck. They don't care about new players. All they care, everything.
There's that heli guy when you need him.
Yeah, exactly. Everything I've witnessed has just been like, here's the packs. It's run by a dude who walks in. Like, there is no like active cultivation of, hey, you're a new player. It's, if I'm in the store, I'll buy them a pack. I'll like, here, have a pack. Like, I'll do things because I'm like, hey, what's going down? I'll talk to them. There really isn't a cultivation of new players. It's a very like, here's some guys playing. Don't talk to them. You know, and they're busy. Like, it's one of those bizarre thing. And then, but
I
mean, I'll take your
it,
money. Go sit down. If I had time to become a judge, I would 100% become a judge. And I would absolutely follow Kelly's mandate of growing everything from the ground up. And the players that you teach now in 2 years are going to be your assistant judges. You know, like, they're going to be the players that follow you in and build this community. It's just, I don't have time. Like, I agree. I think that's the way to do it. It's just, wow. It's all about money, like, up here. It's a sad thing, man. It's just all about the packs, man. Pay your fee, go sit down and lose them.
Went down a very depressing rabbit hole that I really wish
I know.
Had gone down.
Yeah, I think that that's actually just a plague that's suffering in your area, because, like, our stores that are all about the money have realized that it's all about the new people. Like,
that's,
those are the people who are going to buy all
awesome.
The overlords out of this showcase. You know, get those new people in, get them drafting a little bit. Let them go and play EDH, and they will buy every overpriced crap rare in that showcase that they can.
Man, I love hearing that. Maybe you're right. Maybe I just got to get more active in the community.
Yeah, like, Magic Online gives us a great example of what you can do in a situation like that. Like, with our FNMs, with the people that we have turnout, we have two pods that we play in. So they split it up into two pods. I've been pushing, and I'm hoping that we try something out, you know, to attract new players, is say, have one be the 8-4 pod and the other one be the Swiss pod. Because right now, the way that our prizing in our store is very spread out to everybody. Like, everybody gets, you get a pack per win and then a little bit of a bonus if you go, like, better the next two. So,
nice.
Have that Swiss queue that everybody gets a pack for showing up and that kind of stuff. And then have, like, another, like, flight that's going, that is, like, the hardcore where it's, like, you have to be X1 or better to get any prizing at all. And, like, that's what's going to do is it's going to shift all the sharks over into the bigger waters, and the people who play in the Swiss get made fun of.
Yeah.
You know, they're a good player. Like, what you should do, it's like if I went and I told my buddies, yeah, I was drafting on Magic Online, and like, oh, how'd you do? It's like, oh, I won a couple drafts. Oh, great, you got some packs for a while. It's like, oh, no, it was Swiss. They laugh at me. Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if like that kind of shaming is much better than what Maddie's talking about, but it is a step in the right direction. I think that you guys know enough people listen to this show that there should be impact on the greater Magic community to kind of encourage these kind of situations, because I'm still one of those like grassroots players that people learn to play Magic by going to a game store, having a good experience, meeting people and wanting to play more Magic. And if that is something that you can't find in any of the game stores in your area, That's just bad for everybody. It's not just bad for their business. It's bad for the game in your greater region, which is bad for you by proxy.
And like, that's the thing. That's where you got to find somebody else, or you got to be that person yourself to kind of step up and say, hey, this is how we're going to improve things. And you got to shop it around. You got to find a store that's going to be willing to say, eh, I don't really care. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think it's just all boots on the ground, man. I mean, we've got a really good thing going here with like a lot of the heavy metal SVU guys, like locally that, you know, we're all going to the events together. We're all talking like there's a lot of good stuff going on. Like, don't get me wrong. It's just like out here where I am, there's only me, Trevor, and I think a few people, that I know that are out here. And, you know, it's just not,
You're making your listeners think you live in Northern Ontario.
Yeah, I do not live in Northern Ontario, no.
You take it a step further and you find like a local bar or a local restaurant.
Trust me, that is something I've been talking with a few people about for sure.
Hey, one of the LGSs that I go to, a good friend of mine, I run events at one of his stores, he started running drafts in an Applebee's. Like probably 30 minutes from
his in Applebee's.
it worked out. I laughed at him the way you're laughing now when he brought it up to me. I was like, there's no way that'll fly. But they made it work. People would show up. Like, there wasn't really a game store in that area. The Applebee's was into it. They did like a drink special for those guys while they were there. But
wow.
It was all ages. It worked out.
Yeah, in both Calgary and Edmonton, there is a bar that you like. There are bars in both cities that you can go to and draft on the weekend.
I got to grow my local community. You're right. No more excuses. I got to do it.
Get it done.
I know. I gotta fucking get going.
Go to the library. Do it there.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about conspiracy, boys. Because I haven't actually put my fingers on this juicy, amazing set yet. Have you guys?
My boxes from Face to Face are waiting at the post office for me right now.
Oh my god! Did we just pull an A-team? Did all of us not play with this set before? Now we're supposed to talk about it.
Nope.
Australian? Did you play?
He's not Australian. He's New Zealand.
Mel, come on, it's the same fucking thing.
You leave Melby alone.
Alright, so
it is not the same fucking thing.
That got him unmuted.
It didn't work out. I have a draft set up for this Friday. I'm gonna draft Conspiracy finally. I have heard a lot from a lot of people I know, surprisingly on all sides of this thing about how they feel about this set. I was expecting you guys would have been a little more hands on with it at this point. But hey, you know, whatever, we're Magic players, we don't actually play the game.
Yeah.
it's funny. Everyone who considers themselves seriously competitive is pretty turned off by the Conspiracy experience, and they're not really interested in the casual social aspect of multiplayer Magic. Who would have thought? I mean, these are the same people that don't really ever play EDH. What a surprise. Additionally, everyone that's at all a casual Magic player, anyone that's ever played a lot of kitchen table Magic or dorm room Magic or whatever, they love the shit out of this set. It's just surprising because I wasn't expecting there to be such a great divide among Magic players. I thought everyone was really going to like it. I thought that competitive players were going to like it just for the fact that there is a real draft format to be had there with all kinds of crazy new interactions with a lot of great callbacks on cards that you didn't get a chance to play with. And I knew that casual players were going to eat this shit up because it's the closest thing to get to like an EDH draft scenario, bringing those two groups together. So I'm really surprised that there is much more of a divide among players, which has kind of halted the sale of product that I assumed that there was going to be a lot of for this set. Now, at the same time, since you can't sanction it as a draft format for FNM, people are turned off by it as well, because it's like, well, I'm not going to get my Planeswalker points, and I'm not going to, well, if it's not sanctioned, people are just going to cheat rampantly and all this kind of stuff. So that is also another thing that's kind of surprisingly off-putting to me that I did not expect leading
up to this set. That doesn't make a lot of sense, right? Like, Planeswalker points are kind of the reason that you would want this set. Like, that seems weird why they wouldn't sanction at least Planeswalker points for it.
Well, like, I think the way that it can be is it can be sanctioned as an open event, which means I think you get, like, one lifetime point, so it doesn't count towards any of your yearly totals for, like, buys and stuff like that. So it's just, it just goes on your thing saying that you have played in a tournament and it's...
you have played Conspiracy, good for you.
Yeah. Like a chibi on your Planeswalker thing.
Hey, Frankie Richards will be the first to get that achievement, man. You know, it's funny. I've, from a unique viewpoint, so I played the beta, MTGO beta. So I've been playing the Vintage Masters where it has some of the Conspiracy cards in it. So I've played 10-20 drafts now and sealed pools with it, which is very interesting. But I've listened to a lot of the shows about people who've played. It sounds like the games I've heard sound really unique and interesting. If you are with the right play group. So, which on Saturday, hopefully, like, I'll get a chance to play a couple of rounds, a couple of pods of it, but I do want to, like, craft the pool if we can to, you know, players I know that are not going to be whiny or, you know, complaining that we can have at least one or two good games, right? So, maybe it's one of those scenarios where if you haven't really played kind of like EDH and Cube, you're going to be out of your league, or you may feel like it's above you. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the overall reaction is negative about it. Most of it seems to be positive.
Again, the people that are most vocal are the people that are most vocal. And those people that are vocal are competitive players, pros. Those are the kind of people that are like, yeah, sure, this set looks fine. Like, I'm not going to play it. That's not my kind of Magic. Or I've got a test for this competitive event. I don't have time for this casual only set. That kind of stuff really
hurts. Was it ever
targeted
for them anyways? No.
Well, yeah, like, that's the thing, is it doesn't affect them. And it's one of those sets you can tell because they've thrown a couple cards in there that are going to be, you know, effective cards in Vintage Legacy that people are going to want to get their hands on for that. But they're not going to get the product to play it. And, like, some of it even just comes down to, like, the difference. Like, everyone loves to draft, but when you sit down to play the game, I've seen, like, competitive groups, you know, just, I haven't gotten a chance to play it myself, but looking at what I've heard from some of the local stores, local players, is that, you know, you get the guys who draft it and then they want to play 1v1 games. Whereas the product's kind of like designed
for people need to learn to buck up and just play the format as it is. I mean, I understand those.
That's where I see the divide really happen. People have fun drafting it. And then when they sit down to say, you know, how are we going to play Magic? Then all of a sudden that's where everything gets all stupid.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I agree with those people that from someone that cubes and has played plenty of competitive Magic, the draft portion of this is amazing. It's going to be a ton of fun. Sitting down with three strangers that I don't know, two of which may be newer to the game, one of which is like taking 15-minute turns and picking his nose. Like, yes, that will literally drive me insane. But that's what the set is. If you can't handle that, you know, don't sign up for it. You're ruining the time for at least three other people.
Wow, that is a very negative viewpoint. but I guess that's interesting. I like I said, I think from what I've heard, I agree that you pick your play group. If you're just going to go into a blind eight, man, well, you get what you get, right? That's what it's like on Magic Online, man. Sometimes you get in and there's a guy that's just fucking around.
You just got to slow down and enjoy it for what it is. I mean, I think that the kind of the weakest link in the chain of conspiracy is you spend all this time drafting. I mean, like the draft matters cards slow the process down. The draft is a lot more fun. The deck building can be a lot of fun based on it. But if you're the first person knocked out of your 4-man pool, that kind of really sucks the big one, if you will. So what we plan on doing for our draft on Friday is, especially because we're going to introduce prizes with it, is we're going to break into those two pods of four. And then the first two people knocked out of each pod is kind of like the loser's bracket. And those four people will form a new pod and play that game of four. And the, you know, the top two from each other one will form a new pod and play. And then we'll do prizes accordingly.
Oh, that's good. See, that's a great way to do it.
Get more mileage out of your deck. Like, you know, again, if you spend all this time and, you know, a lot of the fun process drafting, it's like being knocked out of an 8-4 in the first 5 minutes of round one. I mean, no one has fun when that happens. That's so you gotta get more mileage out of it. And I think there's a good way to do it. And I think that this is a really unique, fun opportunity to play Magic. I just think that the people that are most vocal that don't like it are going to ruin it. Like, one bad apple can ruin the whole bunch. If you have one competitive player at your store level that maybe the younger players or the newer players really look up to, and that person thinks they're very competitive and look down on this format, that's going to affect other, you know, people that can be influenced easily to be like, well, I don't want to play it. Like, Greg, you know, Greg goes to PTQs and he plays in Grand Prix and he thinks this set's no good because you have to play with other people. So nah, I don't want to play it either. And you might lose a lot of potential at your FNM if those kind of people are there.
Agreed.
So those people need to buck up, just play the damn format and have fun. Like, that's what they're for. And you might open some sweet foil legacy cards. You never know.
Yeah, I can see the grinder folk not wanting to play this in an FNM setting, but I can see them wanting to play it amongst each other with colorful honor on the line.
Exactly. And you know what? Alcohol makes every game better.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, like, this is what I'm doing. I'm playing modern tournament. When I scrub out of that, man, then we can play Conspiracy. So I got my fill of playing hardcore constructed kind of like battle, and then now it's time to relax and chill out.
Matt, since you're bringing that up, I have another bone to pick with your community. How can you not borrow cards to play in this tournament? Like, how can you not get this deck that you've been practicing?
I can't. That's the thing. I own the deck on Magic Online.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I bought those over time. But yeah, like paper, like I can't. Like, so I sold in Montreal. I sold all my fetch lands, but yeah. I'm happy. I'm
still a smart move.
Hey, man. Made $1,000. I sold them at their peak, so I'm fine with not having it. But if I didn't know, like, you know, Tony and frickin' Kelly and a bunch of other people that could help me out, I wouldn't play. So I've always, I guess we kind of at Heavy Meta been like, oh, fucking pros, boring cards. But yeah, it is a format. Modern is a format, like Legacy, that is just that expensive. Like, I can't drop $2,800. I can't do that.
But somebody's got to have it in your community. Like,
oh yeah, I'll get the deck together for sure to play.
Well, you will be able to. Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Totally.
You should be able to borrow it, because like, if not, like, that's just terrible.
No. I've got tons of people that'll hook me up and I'll get it. I mean, that I've had multiple offers from people like, anytime you want to play, I got the cards. And and thank you so much for those people. Because without them, fuck, like, it is crazy. It is quite an extensive barrier to entry, that's for sure. especially when you don't know what deck you want to play. Thank God, like, I've been building my Modern Gauntlet online so I can test decks and, like, play 50, 100 matches, and I'm like, okay, I like this deck. I know what to play. Because dropping $2,000 on a cool deck that you've never played with, whew, and then finding out you hate it, that's got to stay.
That's awesome.
Hey, I've seen people do it, eh, right? So, interesting. Let's move on and talk real quickly about Planeswalker point thresholds for Grand Prix buys.
Yeah, let's make this one quick, because I'll tell you how many fucking people this applies to. Fucking nobody.
So I read this note, and I don't even know what the fuck this means. So I like his comment. Is this shit stupid or a goal worth reaching? I'm going to say
this means stupid. Is if you have a pulse and have been to a big tournament, PTQ being a big tournament, you have two buys.
Okay.
And you will have
All you have to do is go to a PTQ and you have two buys? I don't think that's true, Jeremy.
I think that that's perfectly true.
Wow.
The thresholds for these buys are so low when you put it on a yearly scale. Like, absolutely low. If you are a FNM, like, regular, you go to your FNMs, and you go and you check out a GP, or you go and check out a PTQ, and you play some rounds and stuff like that, you should definitely have enough points to get buys at GPs.
All right, Jeremy is my oracle. Let's say I go to 48 FNMs a year, and I go to two PTQs. Do I have two buys at a Grand Prix?
Oh, do the math.
How many people do you have at those FNMs?
Let's say I have 24 to 30.
24 to 30. So what's that for participation points?
I don't know. You're telling me.
I don't know.
You're the one dropping knowledge, son. You got to be able to back that shit up.
I don't need to be able to back that. You know what I back that shit up on? Is the fact that that's what happens. That's what everyone's total is. We looked at it and we said, oh, geez, look at these numbers. And everyone looked at their thing and went, oh, yeah, that's easy.
All I know is that I thought that Wizards was scaling back the number of buys they were handing out at GPs, and they've been working on that system for a couple of years. Yeah. And I kind of thought that whatever new system they'd be putting in place, they'd be scaling it back even further.
But not.
Jeremy's kind of telling me they're kind of going the opposite direction. Is that true?
I think that this is 100% in the other direction.
Wow.
I think that everybody and their dog is going to have two-round buys. Now, you're not going to have the crazy three-round buys, because the problem with the old system was that you had a huge number of people with one round.
And by old, you mean like recent but not actually old system? Like
The current system.
Okay.
The current system, you have a ton of people with one round buys, because that was like literally the you attend FNM buy. And then at that point there was the two round buy. And the two round buy was for the grinders. Those are the people who are hitting up multiple PTQs, hitting up multiple GPs, but not a lot of GPs. Like multiple GPs is like literally like two or three GPs. And maybe they had one in the last season, and they played it, you know, to a 7-2, missed day two. You know, they played a couple rounds of PTQs and stuff like that, and they always hit up their FNMs. Those people would have enough points to push them into that two-buy category. And then you had the three-round buys, which were your GPT winners and your, you know, pro players and your just hardcore grinders. So you'd always see this thing where it's like round one, a whole bunch of players show up, get added into the tournament. Two round buys, you get like this weird smaller group, and then three round buys, another big chunk of people show up into the tournament. So it really didn't make any sense. It's like, why do we have a ton of ones, no twos, and then a medium group of threes?
So now you're telling me there's going to be a lot of ones and twos.
Tons of ones, lots of twos, and then a very, very select threes. Because
now I will interject that my knowledge base comes from the ancient system when we only used abacuses to figure out how many buys we had. And back in those days, it was surprisingly similar, where very few people actually had two buys. I mean, I remember there was like an entire calendar year where I had two buys because of my rating. And I was in this weird limbo where it's like, oh, you're pretty darn good at Magic, but you haven't got to the three-buy threshold. That's all that it is.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Getting to the 3-by threshold on Planeswalker points was absolutely sick. Like, that was the you had to attend 15 GPs and actually know what you were doing.
Now, the real question is, did you agree with that system or not, Jeremy?
I like the 3-bys for what it was, like, for, like, GPT winners and stuff like that. I kind of liked it in that system, and I liked...
Yeah, as soon as they scaled a GPT win back to 2-bys, that was kind of bullshit, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, it's really now pushed back, and 3-bys is, like, a very, very special thing. And it's important to kind of, like, you only have to go 4-2 with 3-bys to day two. Like, that is way different than the person who shows up with 1-buy and has to, like, you know, hit that. They have to get their 6 wins.
like
so are you in favor? Are you in favor for a system where the people with three buys are the people that pretty much flew in to your town for this particular event, aka you know silver level, pros. Gold level, or platinum pros who are traveling from a long way away because it's like, hey, you know, we're bringing them to your stage. We want to have them play as much Magic with you as possible and kind of like stay in that zone versus, you know, any Joe Schmo that goes to 50 FNMs a year has a chance of having that threshold.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it actually does benefit. Like, I do agree that the three-round buy should exist and it should be limited to the players who really deserve it. And those are the players who have worked hard.
So, like, 50 to 100 people on the planet should have three-round buys at Grand Prix?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's the right way to do things. The real question is, should everyone else and their mom have a casual access to two buys?
Yeah, and like that's the thing. I think that you're going to see like infinite one round buys, and you're going to see a ton of two round buys out of this system. Like, I have no issue thinking that I'm going to get two buys because I don't even play that much Magic anymore because my work schedule just doesn't let me play Magic. But if I hit the PTQs, I don't have to do the FNM thing.
Man, that's a little depressing to people like me. There, it's like two buys. You kind of had to work for it. You had to be like pretty close to get like your one Pro Tour invite a year when you were that close. So again, for the five people that gave a shit about this segment, I hope you enjoyed it. For everyone else, yeah, fuck Planeswalker points. Just don't get pushed around by people when you go to major events that tell you that they need you to concede to them for their fucking buys or whatever it was. Back in my day, that shit was rampant. If someone like was like, oh, you got to scoop to me. I need it for my rating. GP buys.
Here's an interesting. Here's my interesting point of view on this whole thing. I think it's bullshit that if you fly, just because you flew in, you get three fucking buys.
No, it's not because you flew in. It's that you were given the incentive to fly in.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's the incentive because you are a rock star that's going to make this tournament exciting. Calgary was not exciting, but when people heard that some people were coming to GP Calgary, they got excited.
And those people decided to go because they knew they could show up at fucking noon on the tournament day and still only have to go 75% win percentage to make it to the next day of competition where they had a shot at making back their plane ticket.
To a guy who's like, hey, I want to try and make the circuit, it's like it's a system of, well, when you're on the train, it's really easy to stay on the train because the whole system works for you, and if you're not on the train, fuck you.
No, Maddie, that's the way it's always been, though. No matter what the system is, that's the way it's always.
Is it? Well, that's disappointing.
That's a tough one to fix.
Yeah, I get that you want to, like, support guys. Like, hey, I get it. You want pros, reward them. But giving them free matches, I think, is wrong. I just pay them more money. And Magic should be about Magic. Like, you shouldn't just start off with three free wins.
We're in this new day and age where, you know, my whole thing is you fucking get rid of all the buys. If there were no buys for no buys.
It's got to be all buys or no buys.
Yep.
Do you think that attendance would really drop off at this stage of the game? I don't think so. No. I think Magic will continue to thrive and get better, and judges' lives will only get easier if they get rid of this whole buy system and everyone's playing the whole way through. No one will be bitching in round 14 or 15 about their goddamn breakers because they've been playing all of the rounds. Everything will be an easier cut. The game will be better off if you just got rid of all the Grand Prix buys all across the board. I think that's a better system overall.
100% agreed with that.
I still like having the buys because, and it's going to be goofy to say, is that you don't want the person who just goes like ringer, like pro ringer, like for match one, match two, and just like have this crappy experience at a GP. Like, it's so much fun to see like these newer players who come into their first couple GPs and they're winning their first couple rounds because they're playing against like a largely, you know, I don't want to say unskilled pool, but like you're not running into, it's not like you're just going to like round one pair up against LSV and he's just going to smack you out of the tournament and your life sucks. You know, like it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, but that would be the story of your Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If I go to a tournament, LSV smacks me, I'm like, sweet. Saturday.
Like, that's the thing. I think it's really good that you have like this pool that's kind of narrowing itself down right off the start and then kind of getting into it. Like, that's the whole concept of it, and it's a thing that they use across all sports. Where it's like, you have to play to get into the main part of the tournament. Like, starting off 3-0 is kind of like getting to like that second stage of the first day and then just trying to stay up there.
So the LA Kings started the playoffs with 3 free wins? No, they didn't.
Yeah,
they,
or like, yeah. Even if you have pole position in a race, you still have to race against everyone else at the beginning of the race.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, last year you won? Okay, so you just win 3 races free.
Yeah, no, it's just not like Andretti gets like 10 free laps on everybody else. That doesn't make sense.
I don't.
It's like a tennis tournament, like these opens and stuff like that.
You still have to rank. Like, you still play.
Absolutely. And how do you rank? You do very well, and then you get seated better.
I guess. It's just like...
You're in the ballpark, but it's not the same at all. And the whole point is a Grand Prix is open to everybody. It's a level playing field, in theory, for all players.
Yeah, but you've got to have, like, that one little aspect of it. Like, that's the thing. You've got to give that little bit of incentive to get these pros out there because that is what's going to carry
Give them more money. Instead of it, I would rather them play so that it feels like to the people who want to be a pro.
They don't have more money. What are they going to get? Why would you
they have tons of money, Jeremy.
Did you just say Hasbro has no money? I have their quarterly report.
The next play doesn't have any money.
Man, I think Wizards of the Coast and the entire thing is cheap as shit and needs to free up the funds.
Absolutely, 100%. I'm not saying that they don't have money because the banks the bank vault is full. It isn't full. I'm saying they don't have money because they're cheap as fuck.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Okay, well, we can agree they're cheap as fuck. That's not the point. My point is that at this point, Grand Prix need to make a decision. Either they are competitive events, rewarding competitive play to what they consider to be the best competitors, or they are magic conventions where anyone from any neck of the woods at any level of play can come out, maybe meet the pro that they've seen online or heard about online, meet artists. You know, it's a convention experience. There happens to be a tournament centered around it that you can participate in the game that you love. You need to make that delineation. And Magic's been sitting on the fence about this for way too long, and that's why they keep making half-assed decisions about changing things like the buy structure and the payouts for pros. Make it a competitive event or make it a casual event. Make a choice on it. Both. Instead, we're stuck in this middle ground.
Nah, I agree. It could be both.
Great.
Like,
you don't have time to do both. Like, you don't have time to do a convention or you don't have time to do, like, a hardcore pro tournament. Like, this is the married version of both that's great.
Yeah, I agree.
System which makes it good for the pros that are coming out to grind, and then you've got everything else that's going on and this great accessible tournament that I can play against players of, like, equal level for those first rounds, and if I'm on a hot streak and I'm just wanting to crush this tournament, I want to get myself up to the upper levels, I just play and I win. That's all it is.
Yeah, I just play against these guys that started 0-3 or, you know.
Absolutely. What? If you can't.
3-0.
Then, like, that's the thing. Like, a lot of these guys earn just by showing up at these tournaments. You're good at the game, you just have to play a lot of it. It's Planeswalker's points.
I guess. I mean, to me, I think they need to create a new GP. It should be called Super GPs, and they're only one a month. And that's like, leave the GP structure as it is, leave the PTQs, leave everything it is, and you make these Super GPs or whatever you want. Okay, well, the whole point is what they are is basically like what GP Portland, like Vegas. It's these big events that aren't that have a really high end pro kind of feel to it, but also this community aspect, and they're run at the same time. And they're like this big thing that you can get your fill. You want to do this? It's like this special thing, and you could do both. And I think they need, you know, maybe even one every quarter, because they may take a lot to organize. But
that already happens.
I know. Well, it only happens. But it only happens because we don't, like, it's just like, pick this GP, and it's just this viral thing that occurs all of a sudden. It's just this, people are like, is it Portland? Is it Boston? Which one is it? And I think if Wizards just said, you know what, every quarter there's a Super GP, it would make it a lot easier for people to say, oh, shit.
Because they started to bring that into the mix with Magic Weekends back in 2011,
yeah, exactly.
But they backed off from it real fast. Although the game hadn't grown to the level it's grown now, I think that you could definitely revamp that. And again, you got to remember that Wizards is still like this slow moving machine. Like, you know, they set all of organized play for this year back in October of 2013. So we have this conversation now, like, they haven't stopped to have the meeting yet. It's possible that, you know, towards the end of this calendar year, we're going to be like, oh yeah, 2015, it's going to be all Magic conventions. There's going to be fucking Jace balloon animals for everybody everywhere. And there's going to be cosplayers around every corner and cube seminars by everybody. I mean, it could still happen. It's just frustrating because we're in this middle ground now, and I'm getting, like, jerk me around answers about Grand Prix buys when it's like, well, what's the tournament landscape really supposed to look like? Just come out and tell me instead of playing these jerk-off games.
Well, but we have to build...
There's nothing unclear about it, though. Like, I don't see where the fog is on this. Like, it's very, very simple when you look at a GP what you're going to get.
And what we're saying is, like, we would like that next level. Like, if every GP was like Vegas, that would be way better. You know what I mean? But they're not.
The thing, they're all creepy in that direction.
And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just the Magic's growing so much that GPs just start to become these bigger things, which I'm all for. That's amazing. It's just, I think, as players, and, you know, all of us have a limited budgets and a limited amount of time, and we're like, maybe one, maybe two, sometimes three a year. Like, that's what I can afford to go to. So if I knew, like, hey, there's going to be super GPs, I would, like, plan my year around at least one of them. So
Maddie's 40th is coming up next year. He's got to go to the super heavy meta GP, whatever that is.
Oh, there is. That one is going to be in a riverboat. I don't know what it is, but we're doing that one. We'll make our own fucking GP. Screw.
We've already talked about that. It is in the mix.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do something else. I mean, who knows? I think in general, Magic is just growing to the point where if we keep breaking records on GPs every time for attendance, how are we complaining? You know, it's just, hey, it's the viral growth.
It's like all of these GPs are doing so well. And if you like try to like identify these things, like you can do it with product release, which was what was happening in Vegas. You can do it with like crazy advertising, which is what SCG has been doing. You can have like these team tournaments that's all community driven and stuff like that. Those events are going to be special because those events are special. The second that they try to really like heavily force it is like, I think the second that like they kind of lose it, like they jump the shark a little bit.
Could be.
And the last thing you want is like the first Richmond. It happened the same time as Quebec City, right after Pro Tour Montreal. Like, the guys who organized that tournament were, like, looking at Wizards like, seriously, you just fucked us.
Yeah,
like,
and
completely the TO was just, we don't want to deal with you. You guys are just savage, like just disgusting. You gave them the limited tournament. When we're in, like, a city that you're forcing us to be in that we don't want to be in because the numbers are going to be shit.
And you're about 1 hour ahead of schedule with that comment, but I like where your head's at.
I've talked at length with Helen, and it's not as black and white as we like to think from the outside. They really do try to, like, make everything work out for every single person, but there are limitations to what's possible.
Absolutely, but to make it mandate that you are actively going to try and go out and screw the other TO because you're going to have the super GP going on is, That's not inclusionary. That's actually going to break up if you're going to tier it out like that. Like, make the open tournament the open tournament.
Yeah.
If you want to have more convention-type stuff, like, jump into PAX more. Start your own convention scene type thing like that. Although I feel like GPs are definitely going more to the casual player. They're definitely going in that direction. By putting in the point cap at five events, your top five events, that pushes a lot of pros out of it.
Yeah, that's
changing
true.
The way that the Planeswalker points work and stuff like that. That's going to make it's going to make a bigger pool of players. And, like, that's the thing. If you look at Vegas and you're a grinder and you're, like, you know what's going to happen with Vegas, you have the Wayback Machine and stuff like that, you stay the fuck away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
It's just shit EV. There is nothing good going to come out of that.
I mean, maybe. I mean, that event was maximum EV for everybody, though. You sold a playmat, your door entry was paid for.
Yeah. If you got a playmat.
It was so big that
they're heading towards casual players,
and they need
to shift the attention that direction. Would we not say?
Sure. I think that the grinder though isn't necessarily looking for the money. I think the grinder's looking for the
a bit of both.
Or 14 person.
I mean, by definition, a grinder is looking for incremental value. So
I think
$20 promo, that's value. Even
I think
if there's 5,000
people, though, puts a bigger price tag on a Pro Tour invite than they do cash. Like they will factor that. Like if I presented to plenty of people saying, okay, there's a GP here that has 225 people attending, or there's Vegas, which one do you want to go to? And it's like,
225.
You guys are gonna be like, I might go to that 225 person one because that's going to get me to the Pro Tour.
Yeah, and there's that. But again, Magic has got to have something for every level of you know, whatever your game is, right? So.
And that's the thing. It's like, let it be. Let it just happen naturally.
Well, let's move on and let's talk about what was released today. Vintage Masters Online. So.
700 ticket black lotus.
I think that's a buy, Jeremy.
Oh man. Yeah. So I mean, we'll talk really quickly. So I've been playing the beta. Played a lot of rounds of it. I think Vintage Masters. And they were trying this time to actually make it the pool. I normally in the beta they throw this big mix of fucking cards in there, but they were actually giving us what I assumed would be realistic sealed pools. So it was really interesting. The one thing that I noticed over a few of them is, man, maybe it was the beta, because I would open three pieces of power in one seal pool and then complete ass in another. So, like, if that's real and I can play sealed and I pull three pieces of power out of it, wow, am I feeling like I won the fucking lottery. But if I don't, I'm going to feel kind of like, what the fuck?
It's going to feel like playing any Masters Edition event.
And
or it's like, I get the card that I'm actually playing the event for, or I get a bunch of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Yoshi Soldier.
Vault or like North Star or some shit.
I will say that the game mechanics, like, I play a lot of Cube with TSG, and, you know, it doesn't feel like Cube. So if you pull power, yeah. Oh my god, dropping boxes. But besides that one thing, it doesn't feel like Cube at all. It does feel like the old frickin' MED sets, man. Like,
yeah, I mean, the set is smaller. I mean, and anything, you're meant to draft multiples upon multiples of copies. I would even say it's similar to Conspiracy, although none of us really have a lot of hands-on experience with that.
Don't.
What's important from this particular announcement is that they've put in exactly how, like, the vintage dailies will work, the eight-man vintage queues will work, what your pricing is going to be for those events, what your payout's going to be. I mean, thank God they pay out in Vintage Masters packs. Good God, how shitty would it have been if they didn't.
Oh, man. Journey to Nyx packs for you.
That's the kind of shit I would have expected from MTGO like a year ago.
Hey, we are getting it. I will make a correction. Mildivane pointed out to us, it's 25 tickets. Not 45.
That's less unreasonable.
No, it's not horrible. It's not horrible. The payouts are ass. Which kind of sucks.
Okay, well, that's as per norm.
Yeah, the Vintage Masters sealed Swiss is 45 tickets. So that was the one that I was...
45 tickets.
Yeah,
event. Yeah. 45, that's Canadian or U.S. or whatever you want. That's
That's like 47.50 Canadian there.
Wow, there we go. Real close to the dollar.
And I mean, like, you know, four match wins gets me 9 Vintage Boosters back. Three QPs. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to play a couple for fun, but...
The price tag is high, and I'll reiterate. I think that there's a lot to be made early on in strategy for this particular set. I mean, if it's so important, I think that it's you know, you're sinking a lot of money into this stuff, so you better know how to draft this set. Just don't go into a blind on day one and be like, oh, this will be fun. Holy shit, $25? Well, it better be fun.
Yeah, and that's I think the real thing with Vintage Masters. I mean, we've talked about it. The way they're promoting it, like the hype around it seems to be dead. Like everyone is like on Twitter, at least overall, a lot of the bots. I know the Card Nexus and a lot of the other bots, like, they don't like it, and, you know, a lot of negative comments.
Not to mention, it's just really bad timing. I mean, if you want to use the popular faces of the game that you have, you know, your pros that write for websites, your podcasters that sell your product for you, you'd think you wouldn't do this.
I know.
Right after Journey to Nyx came out, right as Conspiracy came out in paper, and starting M15 Spoilers, which is going to come out in like a month and change. It's just this really awkward middle ground where you're like, hey, you're already buying our regular products. Why don't you just, you know, cough up $7 a pack to play this while you're at it?
And what I don't understand, and this is what just completely baffles me. This is Vintage Masters. This isn't MED6. This is Vintage fucking Masters. Like, power. Why are they not paying Brian Kibler, fucking Darkest Mage, all these guys for just say 1 week? I want you every day to draft Vintage Masters. Free packs for you to draft all day. Just for the exposure alone. Like,
I could admit that there are tournaments that I will not play in on principle, And then I watch like New Month and Nummy go and draft it for like an hour. And I'm like, fuck, I'll go play a Modern Masters draft online.
Exactly.
Even though I own freaking Modern already. Like, I don't need any of the cards. Opening the pack is just stupid.
I am 100% with you. Every time I've watched some of the streams play formats, and I'm like, I don't want to play this anymore. I played it to death. But then when you get excited, you see what they're playing. They walk you through, or they take a pick and explain, oh, this is an interesting new archetype. You're like, wow, I've never tried to draft that before. I'm going to go do it. Like, I think the people that are trying to control the release of this are just failing on every fucking level, and they're not listening to the community, which is insane. I think it should be cheaper. Number one, the prizes should be absurdly higher just for the sheer fact that build the hype for a week. How about you just said for 1 week, we're doubling the prizes. For the first release week, all prizes doubled. Why not? Why not do that? Well, number one, it would generate a shit ton of hype. Number two, a ton more packs would be opened, so your moxes wouldn't be 700 fucking tickets, which would make a lot of people happy. Like, I don't know why they don't do simple things like that. I don't know. It makes no sense, man.
They put it in their head that the best way to run a pre-release is to rake you over the coals.
And that's that is the one thing that if I had one pick, someone mentioned this on Twitter, what would I do if I was in charge of Magic as of today? You know, Magic Genie, you're in charge of Magic, what would you do? That would be the very first thing I did, is I would revamp how the perceived perception of Magic is, especially online. And Magic Online, like you said, Jeremy, even everyone's like, oh, they're going to get us. They're going to fuck us here. This is, you know, this. And they constantly, just for the last 4 or 5 years, it seems like they're reducing prize payouts, taking promos away. Like, and it's on digital objects that mean nothing. So there's no cost savings. They're just doing it for some fucked up reason. And you're like, well, no wonder you're not going anywhere with this. Like, it's like they don't want Magic Online to really be successful. They're doing it, but they really don't want it to compete with paper, you know? And they're like, well, power is coming, so we don't want to make this really good, you know? We still want to sell paper, guys, so let's make sure.
I think there should be a limiter on how much you can complain about MTGO on a podcast every week. Because I think we've just about maxed out, and I'm so fucking tired of people being like, this client sucks. Okay, yesterday I drafted Journey to Nyx, and I can't believe I got these amazing. I fucking hate this whole thing. All right, yesterday I was sitting on MTGO at like 7 or whatever. Like, it's terrible. We really need to take our own advice and stop fucking pushing the client that's so fucking terrible.
Hey, I'll say this. The client actually isn't terrible. A lot of
I've been using the beta client forever.
I don't mind it. I mean, I'll be the first to say this. The current generation, besides glitches with cards, which they could easily fix, the system is fast. The beta seems fine to me. I don't have an issue with it. I still don't like how they do triggering. I think a lot of the pop-up windows when you're triggering and effects are still very confusing, and their whole new giant red arrow, click here. Wow, is that confusing as fuck. I'm like, can't I just click on the card? Like, well, get this box out of the way. There's that's an issue. But that being said, the card management system, I like their new little, cutout window when it launches. I think a lot of it, the client is getting better. It's getting more stable. I don't have a lot to say, like, in complaining about that.
I think it's just the business practices in general.
Yeah, that's where,
like, let's just skim a pack here from a daily event. Like it's just like a little stiff.
Yeah, there you go. Jeremy's head just hit the table because he's frustrated. And that is the life of a Magic Online player. We're frustrated, but we want to play because it's still an awesome thing. So is Vintage Constructed going to make an impact, I think? Oh, man. Well, there's been Vintage and Legacy, like, you could play it in the make-your-own queue there for a while. I know people have tried to do. I don't see it, man. I just don't see it. At $700 to buy a Black Lotus at this point, I don't see Vintage queues doing anything. And I know they say they're going to be – what does it say here? They're going to be available every day. I don't see
have you considered that, like, the instant they go live, you could just tell your friends to, like, jump in there with fucking standard decks and just battle and get picked out Vintage Masters packs?
What? Oh, I never thought of that.
They actually made a comment online saying that any sort of collusion and stuff like that will be, you know, there was, like, this, like, random cryptic tweet that came out today just saying that
reminding everybody that collusion can result in your account being banned and all this other stuff.
It's whatever. Like, sneezing can relate in your account being banned. That's not, I mean, they can do whatever the fuck they want. But I'm just saying, like, as soon as those queues go live, just fucking jam it with whatever you've got.
The queues are live right now.
There's packs to be gotten out there.
Oh, man, I didn't, TSG, I don't condone what you're saying, but I'm like, wink, wink, and a nudge, nudge. That's interesting.
It's not anything shady, guys. It's just like, no one's going to have
what do you mean that's... That's, I guess it's true, right? So I'm gonna go pick my standard deck and we're gonna go battle and,
I'm gonna play in this vintage queue right now with Dude Storm.
Yeah, and I'll play Mono Black Control, let's go. Theros Block, Mono Black Control. Hey, that's, you're blowing my mind, I never even would have thought. That's how honest a player I am.
To blow your mind and not your cock.
I'm so honest a player, I would have been like, well, I don't have vintage cards, I guess I can't play this vintage queue. That's crazy.
I do love the fact that Magic Online does not believe that I currently have any vintage decks.
Oh, doesn't it? Why?
No, none of my decks are vintage legal.
How are they not vintage legal? Isn't
you guys
everything?
Just talking about how you like this client, but
yeah, this is going back to the client thing where it's like, legal. Oh, this is what I get for trying to defend it for once in my life.
And I'm sorry, I'm not going to bitch, but how do you release Vintage Masters and then you don't have the client recognize a vintage deck? I'm just saying, end of rant. Well, we're not going to talk it anymore, but that's bad.
I literally had to duplicate my deck and then label it as a vintage deck. And now I'm going to go to the play lobby and see if it'll let me join this vintage tournament with my modern deck. That is now labeled a vintage deck. It did work.
Oh, there you go. You tricked it, dude. You tricked it.
Great ideas and troubleshooting, all brought to you from Heavy Meta, the podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
So our last topic of the evening we're going to touch a bit on here is the pinnacle. What is this, sports betting? The odds of the Magic the Gathering.
That is so awesome.
So what? I'd never even seen this.
See, this is why I brought it to your attention this time, because this has been going on for quite a while, but everyone like is like, I can't believe this is a thing. This is
never.
I had no idea this was a thing.
I have been wanting to bet money on Magic for a very long time, but you're not allowed to do that.
Wow, so these are some interesting odds. So will Reed Duke make top 8? 9101 for yes. So, okay, that's the... How do you read this thing here? So it's 6...
Do we need to have, like, a betting lines 101 discussion?
So it's 6-1 odds, right? Yeah.
Let me click on it again. I closed it a while ago. Plus, they've updated since I last looked at it.
I'm just taking a look quickly because I've never seen this site before.
Yeah, it's 6-1 on Reed Duke making top 8.
Wow.
Which is really, really good.
Wow.
I mean, I think, like, any particular player making top 8 is like, ho-hum, whatever. I think that this particular time around, one that I hadn't seen them do before, is the number of particular, I mean, that's not true, they've done this before, but
the
not
the number of basic islands in the top 8, that's amazing.
Yeah, those are hilarious.
Yeah, I love the over-unders.
I'll tell you this, man, in the Magic, what is it, the World, what is their Magic Worlds, where they do the invite?
The World Magic Cup.
World Magic Cup. That I would bet high on islands. Because you know the pros love playing control in those formats.
But this is those formats are weird because you play everything in those formats.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Your unified decks and stuff like that, so there's always the control deck, and then there's the aggro deck, and then there's the weird mid-range with all the rest of leftover cards deck.
That's true.
Yeah.
So what would you want to see here?
I don't think there's a particular thing I want to see. I think that the creative and different ways to incorporate funny side bets into Magic is really what this, as an American citizen, this webpage is all about for me, because Americans are foreboding from using Pinnacle. If I was a Canadian casual Magic player who wasn't super concerned about being DCI banned, I'd definitely be a lot more interested in this website. I enjoy speculating on the number of planes that may make top 8. I mean, if there was a line on Craig Wesco making top 8, you'd think that that line would be pretty tied together, would you not?
Yeah. Interesting. That's, I guess betting is big. I don't bet too much on stuff like this, so to me it's just, like, interesting for fun, but...
I mean, I would recommend anyone who has a casual play group of friends that wants to make Pro Tour viewership more interesting, take a look at this website, maybe use that information to make interesting, fun, cookie-related bets with your friends. But
honor
that's
bets.
All I would... necessarily endorse using it for.
Yeah. I don't know.
Fun stuff. It's funny that the futures market's so far out there.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, this brings us to the Q&A part of the show here. And I believe there was a question on scumbags. And if the worst scumbag story, I know this is an old, old throwback question that everyone loves to hear about, but
what Jeremy, is this, the fucking A-Team? God damn, I know. We have nothing original to talk about?
No. Nothing. Actually, there's a caveat to it. It's not magic-related scumbags. You have to tell me the sexually related scumbag story. Go.
Sexually related scumbag story.
Has everyone ever scumbagged you sexually?
Wow, that sounds like some kind of like non-consensual sex related story.
No, think about it. So has anyone ever scumbagged you sexually?
You mean slipping one in the ass when you weren't ready? Like what exactly?
It could. Or it could mean like, hey, you know, you're out on a date and you know the implied reward is there, but you take her out to dinner, you do the movie, ice cream.
I've actually been scummed a lot sexually as of late.
See? I knew this would go somewhere.
He's been scumming me so hard sexually.
Well, okay, now is that a new move, or is this just your complaint that you're getting scummed?
I'm getting scummed because, you know, me and the wife are having, you know, a little bit of fun time, everything's going right, and then the baby starts crying.
Oh.
Sounds like every day for you guys.
Sounds like every day. Exactly.
Yeah, the baby's in the whole interrupting your sexual with schedule. Yeah. Honey, we're scheduled. I don't know what this kid is crying about. You're ruining my fucking schedule.
Yeah, aside from that, it would be shitty internet up in camp.
How is that getting... shitty internet scumbagging you?
Well, you can't watch anything. What are you going to do? I don't have imagination anymore. You're a child of the internet.
What are you talking about? We play this great imagination game with dragons and fucking planeswalkers.
Is that what that shit is on the card?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Don't tell me you're one of those guys that, like, I don't know what the card is. It's just...
No, I actually read the really crappy ebooks and all that stuff. I've orthos a little bit.
Yeah. Well... I will say this, that there has been several questions on Twitter. Most of them are not really that interesting.
I'm sure there's something in there.
How disappointing.
I know. It was because Kevy wasn't on the show tonight, so people were like, nah, what the
Everyone's fuck? Super fixated on his honeymoon. Those were all the questions they're heading. Nothing for us.
No, well, strangely, that's probably one of the most interesting parts of the show is going to hear about what the hell he was doing. Although I imagine it involves liquor and fucking and beaches and shit.
Think that it's
sitting in California traffic.
Why the fuck isn't he here? Doesn't he have a cell phone?
Yeah.
It's not that he has a cell phone; it's that he has a wife.
His thing was this. He's like, I don't really think you want to be hearing, you know, me do. Okay, Maddie, so I'm a little busy right now, but fuck you, San Diego. Like, he's like, I don't know. But
honestly,
I was like,
that would just be like a regular show.
Oh, Kevin, we miss you, man. We miss you. But I will say this. If there was one podcast out there that isn't Heavy Metal or the A-Team, because we all know those two shows suck ass, is there a podcast out there that you listen to regularly, Jeremy, besides your own?
Podcasts that I like. The first podcast that actually got me into Magic Podcast was JudgeCast. Judge or anything like that. I just love the interactions of the game. And part of the reason why, like, I used to take a lot of judge tests, but never actually, you know, go to do the judge. I do the practice tests because I like the interactions. It gives me a very interesting appreciation for the game, I feel. So that Judge Cash I always liked. I liked hearing the stories. And then there's a show that has had kind of like odd releases, but it just has a caster that I really like, and that's Card Advantage. That's with Lecluse.
Yep.
He's just a really cool caster, and I just really like listening to the stuff that he's got going on. He has a really well-structured show, gets some really good guests. He gets like a lot of like
WotC, like, type guests, people who are, like, R&D type thing like that. So he approaches it from a different angle, and it's a very under, like, low-key show. So I really like that show.
Nice. TSG, yeah. You don't listen to any magic show, do you?
I fucking listen to fucking all of them. That's I'm in the car so fucking much that I have no choice but to yell at every bad podcaster about every stupid thing that they're talking about that they know nothing about that they can't fucking hear me about. I've met Aaron, or Clues as he likes to be called. Yeah. He was on Magic Cruise 4. He is a very nice guy. He is a very interested judge, trying to become very active. His show is actually surprisingly well structured, as much as him and his co-host. I mean, everyone's knowledge is different, but Aaron is, or Clues, as he likes to be called, is trying very hard in the judge program. So if you're looking for a lot of great kind of like Q&A stuff for that, he's got the interactions down. You know, these days, as far as magic podcasts go, quality has really dropped off a lot. I think that there's only, I don't even know if there's a handful that I would recommend every single week that people should listen to. I mean, obviously, everybody here at the Mana Deprived Podcast Network, as I like to call them, are really the cream of the crop, in my opinion. And then the extended family, as it were, over at Brainstorm Brewery. I think those guys are really smart to kind of relaunch their cast instead of sitting around bickering about two cards for an hour every week. I think that was getting kind of old, and they've really started to reintroduce the core concepts and buying and selling and trading magic cards, which I think is important for everyone that plays this game casual competitive. I do recommend their podcast highly. As far as the MTG Cast network goes these days, it's pretty much just a graveyard of people that either don't know what they're talking about or laugh at their own shitty jokes for way too long and like have this terrible hyena laugh. I won't name anyone specifically. So it's nice that Jeremy has escaped that and come to the promised land of magic podcasting. He just happens to be from the native land of those things, so it works out pretty well. And then I have an affinity for all the cube podcasts out there, because that's my favorite thing. I mean, it's hard to do one every single week. I mean, my podcast partner and I got up to about 40 episodes before it was like we could keep doing this, but other things kept us away from that. So definitely check out, you know, Joy of Cubing and The Third Power. Oh, and while I'm on this subject, you know, toss out to podcasting godfather Tom, who's now doing a magic MTG Pulpery with the great Adam Staborski and the equally great Connolly Woods. Those guys will definitely do great work because they are great personalities to do so.
Show that's happening right now?
It is. It's on GatheringMagic.com. Like, it's on Mondays. Like, they went on hiatus for a little while because two of the three of those guys are fathers, and one of those guys is trying to play Magic as a pro, so it's not easy to get together every week. But I recommend checking those guys out if you don't do already. So if you're on ManaDeprived.com and you're listening to their content, you're probably doing it right already. If you're listening to us, then you obviously are the smartest people out there listening to magic content. So beyond that, it's hard to pick many other horses in the race that are worth listening to. But definitely, Tom, if you're not listening to those guys over on Gathering Magic, they're just entertaining to listen to, even if they get off topic about all kinds of crazy stuff, because Tom's a sleep doctor and Adam, he's the content manager for Gathering Magic. And obviously, Connolly Woods is Connolly Woods. So that's a great trio right there. That's my endorsement.
Here, I agree with all of those, man. I like it. So, I have an update on our Kraken playmat design contest. Already, if you've been following Twitter, got some crazy entries from the proxy guy, KYT's Cave. You can follow Heavy Meta Crib on Twitter. Some crazy shit coming out there. So, get on it, guys. Tweet, show us your stuff, man. Some pretty crazy designs. We're going to be announcing next week some of our top picks, and we're going to announce our prizes for that giveaway as well. So get on that, because we want to see these printed, man. Ink Playmats has got us covered there, so if your artwork is sick, it's going to be playmatted.
I've seen a few of them come through the Twitter machine, and everything looks sweet. I've got to give it to you, Maddie, for getting that connection made with the Kraken guys. I think that's a huge step for bridging magic and adult beverages and your own particular brand of awesome. So that's something that I'm a huge fan of. Well done.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. When I was speaking with them, they were like, so tell me more about this game. You know, and I was like, well, it's Magic. It's, hey, man, it's like millions of players. And they were kind of like, really? And then they didn't
it's
realize.
Weird. At this day and age, I'm surprised that you can't be like, look, somebody you know plays this game.
Yeah,
and I
well,
swear to you, if someone you know knows someone you know that plays this game, 100%.
Well, here was their question was this, and it was very simple, and we answered it. They were like, how many of those people that play this game drink? Because that really is like what it comes down to. I'm like, I think everyone that plays this game listens to this show that drinks. And so I was like, okay, I'll show you. And for about a week there, the entire Heavy Metal SVU just spammed Kraken Rum until they would just email me like, okay, we got it. We're like, we got it. You're very popular and you've got a lot of people that like our products. So sweet. So I guess that's how you do it, man. So the next cast out there, Axe Deodorant, I don't know, somebody get on that. I personally just want to see this game get sponsorship outside stores. You know, anything else. If it's toilet paper, if it's fucking undergarments, I don't care what it is, depends. Somebody get some amazing, like, cross-promotional sponsorships and that, because we can do this game into the real world, man, and start getting the people that are making awesome content real money.
I just want to see the Heavy Meta Magic Convention sponsored by Kraken Rum and, you know, some subsidiary sponsorships for Magic for, you know, the year 2015. Whatever that's going to be. I mean, it sounds like we already have the headline sponsor.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we can get another one. I'm in talks with several other companies that might be interested. It really is going to come down to it's the fan base and how devoted they are and do they engage in social activities that relate to the sponsor. That really would have, you know, they want to
see. What
else
do you do while enjoying Kraken Rum? Because from what you're saying, it sounds like apply Axe body spray, which I got to tell you, I don't do.
Axe is gross. I wouldn't even go near that. I mean, I'm just saying. It is, right? I'm just saying, like, there's got to be other sponsorships out there. So if you've got a show,
there's got to be a random jerky company.
Jerky would be a great one.
Carts.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I don't know why Monster Energy or one of the energy drinks is not on this, because holy fuck, everybody drinks that shit, and it goes perfect with Kraken Rum.
Well,
so.
Well, Maddie, I mean, as the I don't want to say the lead, as the godfather of the Heavy Metal SVU, what is the official energy drink?
I believe it's Monster. I'm not sure.
Kevy have a tweet of a Red Bull with vodka.
Well, it's Rockstars. So he drinks Rockstars. Yeah, I started drinking the zero calorie Monster with Kraken, which is real. That's
ooh, which zero calorie Monster particularly?
It's the white one. It's white and blue.
Yeah, Ultra Blue. That is, I gotta, you know, this is a weird coincidence, and this is, you know, no plug intended. That is the flavor that I really like. Now, for that's a long time, I was a Rockstar guy. Back in the day when Rockstar was like, they came out with like Rockstar Juice, and it was actually fucking 70% juice. It was like mango. It was amazing. Yeah. They used to get plowed on that with vodka all kinds of nights. And then nowadays, Monster, I mean, for a long time, the original flavor, it didn't sit with me. I didn't like it. But they've had so many kind of like new flavors, and I didn't think I was going to like the zero-calorie ones because like the Rockstar zero-calorie ones I was not a big fan of. But you have hit the nose on the head. That is my Monster of choice, far and away. And I even like it better than the Ultra Red.
Yeah.
And generally, in my lifetime, I'm a cherry flavor person. I like red flavor, whatever the fuck that was going to be. But Ultra Blue from Monster, that is where it's at. If I'm going to reach for an energy drink, that is what I'm reaching for.
And I have to shout out Chris Chaos, who introduced me to this flavor. I didn't even know, because I wasn't a huge energy drink drinker before. Coffee guy, right? So, like, and at the first tournament I was at, he brought me one. And I'm like, this is zero calories. How the fuck can this be zero calories? And I'm like, this tastes good. What the hell is this energy tasting good in my mouth for? Like, this shit tastes like shit. He's like, they're really good. And since that day, I was like, well, what do you do with this energy? I got to try it with Kraken first, man. I've tried it with a ton of different drinks. It's really good. It is the best flavor. I've tried a lot of the Rockstars. Don't like them at all. So I agree, man. I think that's great. So if anyone wants to try and grab that sponsorship, because if you don't, I'm going to grab it.
The next hurdle right there. That sounds like the next place to be. I mean, a nice little monster cooler next to your...
Monster Kraken. I mean, how does that not... That's a fucking Magic card. The Monster Kraken. It's a match
that,
made
that
in
sounds
heaven.
Like a contest for somewhere down the road.
Yeah, fuck it. Throw it in this one. Anyone that can make a Monster Kraken contest, I will ship that straight to Monster. We'll get them too.
What?
Yes.
I've got a pile of Ravnica Guild t-shirts right in front of me.
Wow. How did you get a pile?
Hey,
someone didn't do their laundry?
Give one away because they're all bagged still.
Oh.
So, let's see. I've got a Dimir one. So whoever wins gets a Dimir shirt.
Oh.
Shirt.
Nice. And unfortunately... And unfortunately, Jeremy's saying that it's a small, so...
No, they are large mediums.
You know, it was funny, the last... I can't remember where I was at, but they were selling all those shirts, and they're like, yeah, it's 2-for-1, and I'm like, wow, that's a great deal. And they're like, yeah, there's only one caveat. They're all smalls. and I was laughing because I'm like, really, no mediums? He's like, no larges. He's like, larges? Did we mean larges in like how long? I'm like, actually, he's just laughing at me. So I'm like, who's buying these?
Gross, but that one's mine.
Yeah, it was funny because I'm like, who's buying these? He's like, mostly dads for their kids. The smalls. Oh, man. Yeah, so that's kind of the episode for the week, boys. Keep those designs coming. I think you're really going to like what we have got in the works for our playmats for prizes and that. Jeremy's throwing in shirts, so that's pretty sweet. Thank you, Jeremy. And this weekend, Saturday, if you're listening to this on Friday, come out and battle, man. Seneca College Modern Tournament should be good. I got free Kraken tokens to give out from RK Post to everyone that walks up to
me. That's right now?
Are we what?
Are we pimping events right now?
I'm not pimping events. It's just I try to support the people that do good. So
I've got a good one.
If you got an event, pimp that event, man.
All right. So the store that is doing the WMCQ in Edmonton. So, you know, in Canada, we got like the two out east and then we got the one in the west. Well, that's like my local game store that got the one in the west.
Ooh.
And what they're doing, one of their fun ideas is they want to get a Western person to win one of these seats. They want to make sure that one of our guys is there. So what they're doing is they're running two events on the weekend, and I'm trying to find the dates right now, so I'm going to stumble with this a little bit. But what they're doing is $20 in, and whoever wins gets flight to one of the other WMCQs. So you're going to do a Saturday event, and they're going to do a Sunday event. You win both, you're going to both. If you... two different people win one, then they can both go to Montreal, they can both go to Toronto. It's just going to be sick.
Nice.
And, like, that's the kind of stuff that I think would really help. Because we kind of get screwed, you know, being in the States, being in Canada. Like, our WMCQs are so fucking far away from each other that you don't get the same people showing up to the tournaments. Even with the one-round buys that they're throwing guys now.
That's pretty sweet, man. TSG, any tournaments in your area for our local U.S. listeners?
I should be attending events probably Friday and Saturday, although Friday is going to be more of a closed group, and I might hit up one of Marcel's local haunts this weekend since I recently moved to his neck of the woods. I'm still working out some stuff to organize with him, and well, nothing's really official and I probably shouldn't be talking about it out loud yet, but I just happen to be, so I guess that's
I love hearing all this secret shit.
But moreover, it's kind of my wedding anniversary this weekend, so I kind of have to keep the slate mostly open.
Nice. Don't fuck that up. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, I'll work on not doing that. So probably trying to schedule not events for Friday, Saturday, Sunday would be smart of me, if at all possible.
Hey, and you know what? Shout out to dads, because this weekend is Father's Day, so my congrats goes out to you. Enjoy your Father's Day on Sunday, boys.
You're really trying to salvage that happy, positive Kevin, or sorry, Maddie here at the end, aren't you?
I am. I'm trying to. And you know what? To celebrate that, since Kevy is not here to send us off, I would like to offer an open trial for you three fuckers. And give me your best send-off, and I will choose which one we keep.
Are we just going to skip over the Jeremy shaming portion of the show? Isn't he supposed to get, like, kind of, like, hazed because he got kicked down here to the minor leagues?
This isn't the minor leagues. This is a great fucking show.
Depends on who you
like. You don't pick my roster and not plan on being here.
He just TSD just assaulted my show. What the fuck is that? It's the best heavy metal yet. I mean, there's no shame in Jeremy because I think Jeremy's awesome, man. So, you know, it's always good having him come down and bring the judge wisdom and
his unique point of view. There's this kind of this unspoken, kind of like mild jawing between the A-team and heavy meta. And it's funny because it's like 95% the A-team like being like, oh my God, you hear what the fans of that show do? Or, oh man, I can't believe they have so many people listen to their shit and fucking just Kevin gets drunk all the time. I don't really know what the deal is. I mean, I consider this quality entertainment, whether or not I'm here or not. I love
You're the only one, dude. Even we know it's not quality entertainment.
That's the thing. That's the part that people just don't get. And, like, I think that's the reason why we do it, because we love it so much. But it's just like that family drama.
Yeah, it's all fun,
we shit on the heavy meta crew in that because we're allowed to. They're our brothers.
Yeah. All right, so Jeremy, but Mary Poff kill the other members of the A-team.
What?
Mary Boff kill the other members of the A-team.
Mary Boff kill. Jeez.
Mary fuck killed.
I know, yeah, no, I get it, I get it. All the other people? You have to marry KYT.
We've done this, so we need your input as someone who's been in close proximity.
I think that you kill Scotty Mac. Because he's...
Controversial.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's just playing the game. That's like Survivor, where you have to like vote off like the really good
people. You have to kill the strongest link.
Exactly. And then you fuck Jay, because, well, fuck Jay.
I guess. I don't think he'd enjoy it, though. And I would want a little bit of consensual. Well,
I think that there'd be some crazy shit happening there.
Oh, man. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, KYT, you got to marry because he's rich. I mean, he owns a fucking cave.
He's gonna leave you every night to go fight crime, though. You're gonna be in bed alone. How sad is that?
This is like, why I'm fucking.
If it's okay if he can take you on vacation, you know, like all of this like stuff.
Yeah,
I think his grandpa would totally go for it, though.
Here's the thing: you're never alone if you marry KYT, because his whole family's gonna be living with you in the cave.
Yeah,
so...
his dad's gonna walk, or his grandpa's gonna walk into your room like every 5 minutes. I guess that's family.
Then he can bug me.
Buns.
Yeah, he's gonna be like Matt. Maddie, all you do is sit in this cave and drink and you eat steam buns. You're going to go nowhere in life. I'm going to be like, yeah, that's probably what I'm going
to
do.
And then he's going to give you steamed buns.
And then he's going to tell me not to eat that shit. Don't eat steam buns because they're bad for you.
The KYT and his buddies took me out for hot pot, and it was the most terrifying and delightful time of my life.
What was the terrifying part?
Why was it terrifying?
Did you almost get burned?
Chicken livers and oyster things and all these other parts that you normally throw away when you, you know, cut up an animal.
Ah,
someone's lived a privileged life, I see.
Privileged life?
What does that? That doesn't even make any sense. Dude, I've been to some places where I've seen shit that you're like, I thought that goes in the garbage. Oh, no.
Exactly.
No. We're eating that shit. The good food.
You guys must go to a different hot pot up in Canada than I do, too.
Well, no, I just haven't gone to hot pot before.
It's like,
which part of this is the animal I'm used to eating? And they're like, no, we don't have any of that here. I was like, oh, okay, good. And then it's like, oh, get the spam, because the spam is the delicacy.
Spam?
Is a delicacy.
Wow, real spam out of a can. That's crazy. I will never go to Hot Pot. Thanks for
That's not how I want to end things.
I did learn that you do not take a shower on your birthday.
No, you 100%.
Wash off all the good luck.
All right, you got sent down here. So what kind of A-team dirt do you have for us? Anything at all?
A-team dirt.
What doesn't make the show?
You know what? The show is actually really good, because what happens is we start talking about stuff and we get excited. We'll be like, fuck you, no, we can't talk about that now. And then we get excited about it otherwise, but we don't have show notes because the other guys aren't organized. And I think we should have show notes, but I'm the new guy, so I don't get a say. but there's really a lot of dirt right now. Like, yeah.
It's all good, man.
It's all good. It is.
We all know that Maddie just hits record, and the next 2 to 3 hours all make the cut for this thing.
That's not true. I've edited the
same thing for the A-team.
Like, what do you mean?
I'm just telling, like, what kind of good conversations take place off the air? Or does, like, Jay secretly hate KYT because he never talks? Like, give us something, man.
We have, like, when we do have, like, an A-team business meeting, like, where we sit there and we talk about the state of the cast, we get pretty rough with each other.
Wow, that's pretty damn professional. I didn't know you guys did that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Business meetings? Fuck. You guys are good.
It's a matter of, like, you just sit down and it's just like, hey, I don't think you're contributing, or hey, I don't think that this is helping.
Wow.
You know, like, we're pretty hard on each other. Like, if you sit there and you get caught typing, which, you know, happens every episode, like, we shit on each other. Our emails are just mean to each other about that kind of stuff. So, like,
yeah,
that's
I'm not buying things. This.
Like, coming into 2014, a lot of us sat there and said, like, hey, we're kind of slipping a little bit. We need to get our shit out there because...
Yeah, you know what would be good? 90 minutes where you guys don't talk about magic at all, and Jay talks about making Looney Tunes cards for an hour. That's quality content right there.
Hey, that was a cool idea, though. You got to admit it.
That was
pretty sure. Yeah, no, I would totally talk about that for, like, 20 minutes. Yeah, I would. It helps. It helps that you guys talk about a game that no one ever plays, either. I think that's really strong. And that tells me there's a lot of great devotion there to what you're doing.
Oh my goodness!
I'm just joshing with you, Joe.
He's giving you the ribs, man.
I gotta do something. Maddie's gonna come down here and suck you off like you're fucking KYT himself. I gotta.
Between these two shows, you're as ridiculous as the people who threaten to kill Jay.
Oh, I love Jay. He's my favorite.
No, I don't think you want to kill him, but there are people, and like that's why we have like this. Going back to that, that's why we have this joshing relationship, because it's just so funny that, like, we know that we're having fun, but the people on the outside, they're like, holy fuck, like, we gotta hate on those guys. We gotta kill those A-team guys. We gotta fucking yell at them because they're making fun of SVU. And it's like, no, we're allowed to. And if anybody tries to do anything to my fucking brother, I'm gonna fuck them up.
You know, the biggest joke that I think that goes on is the SVU really doesn't hate the A-team. They hate Jason Ault. So he's the one they most hate, so I don't know why, but
see, that's what's so great about Jay is Jay has this amazing way to like bitch and moan about whatever it is about the game he loves, and it's like I can relate to that. That's reasonable. When Jason Ault does it, he's like taking a dump on everything and you just want to punch him in the face.
Oh, he's so good at it, though. I love it. There's something about, like
Jay's, when Jay shits, it smells reasonable. Like, I will take it in. I'll take a whiff. When Jason Ault's take a shit, it's like, dude, that just stinks. Like, just, you gotta back it off a little bit. That's a little too much. Like, I don't like it.
No. See, that's the difference between you and me. When I see him going off on it, it gets so disgusting. It's just like, keep going. Cause you're digging a hole, man. You're just digging this fucking hole, and I just want to see how far you will go. And it's awesome. I love it, man. He has crafted a persona of hate and bitterness equal to no one. On the internet, and that he's an MTG finance guy, which most of the casuals hate anyways. It's just like he should just literally get horn implants just stuck in his head and just like, ha-ha, and rip up magic.
I feel like I can empathize with him because I have definitely been in the place where for a month, 25 days of that month, I was buying and selling magic cards for fucking 8 to 12 hours a day. And by the fucking end of that time, if someone walked up to me with a trade binder and wanted to haggle, I'd rather just punch them in the dick and leave than fucking deal with them. And so every time I hear him talk about, you know, dealing in fucking bulk and trade binders for value traders, like, I fucking get it. Like, I know where he's at. It's just hard because he doesn't really, like... You don't really impart that information to the audience. Like, they don't understand where he's coming from. They just smell his giant shit about the game that he's taking.
Yeah. All I know is I wouldn't want to do trades. I can't even do trades anymore with people because it's just too annoying. Like, if people I know want cards, I'm like, here, you can have them. And if I need a card, you can give it to me. Like, I don't even give a shit what it costs. But I cannot sit there and you look through my binder, and then pull out your phone and make a list. And then,
I'm definitely happily in that stage of my magic consumption. I mean, I know the last few months there was a kid at one of the LGSs I go to, and he was working on a peasant cube, and he like wanted a bunch of stuff out of one of my access binders, and it gets to a point where it's like, hey, you're cool, you know, you hang out, you cube with us, you know, you just here, take $70 retail worth of cube foils that I'm never gonna play with again that you like love. Like, that makes me happy. I don't have to be like, well, you know, I'm gonna need so many shock lands for these cards. Yeah. I want this stuff. And
yeah, that's it's funny. I've been for a while now, like everyone knows, I collected comics for like 20 something years, and I've, you know, they're worth basically nothing now. Like, it's insane that I was looking at what they're worth and they're literally worth nothing. So I've been like gradually just taking a box, you know, like put a bunch of like, oh, these are like the best X-Men stories. And then I would just like, you know, go around and one of my daughters would be like, oh, I know this kid, he likes comic books. And I'm like, oh yeah, really? Okay. And I'll bring it in when I go to pick them up, and I'll just like, hey man, here. He's like, what's that? I'm like, that's like 100 books of the best X-Men stories. Go. And the kid's like, just like, are you shitting me? When do I give these back to you? I'm like, you don't, they're yours. You know, or I'll take them to one of the schools, and I'll just like see if they want them. I know they probably secretly throw them out in the back because they're devil books from the 90s. Guns and big tits and shit running around, but whatever. You know, yeah, because it's funny. My kids were asking me, they're like, hey, Daddy, can we look? I'm like, yeah, go ahead, look whatever you want. And they're looking at some of these books that, like, Rob Liefeld drew, and they're like, wow. I'm like, what? They're like, that character has really big, it's okay. I'm like, what? She's like, those boobies don't look real. I'm like, no, honey. Boobies aren't supposed to be, like, three sizes the size of the girl's head, you know? Oh my goodness, back in the day, man. Early 90s comics, man. Shout out to you. You've warped my perception of what the world really is for some reason. But tonight it's
really cool that I want to talk about magic related.
Yes. Hit me.
We've got a guy in our local game store who's making a paper Momir.
The paper Momir?
Like a Momir binder? I've seen those before. Is he going like one step further?
What he's got is he's got like one of those like three slot boxes, like the big cardboard paper thing. And he's got dividers in it, and it's just 1, 2, 3, 4. And what he's done is he's taken all of standard, and he's making Momir out of standard. And every time a new set comes out, he's going to go one set forward. So he's going to take the new set, and he's going to go one set back. And he just has this big box. So we sit there with basic lands, and we shuffle up the basic lands, and we start, you know, playing it out, and we discard, and we just grab a random card from inside of whatever the casting cost we're getting and play it that way.
And it's fun. That sounds pretty sweet. That's a lot more time, energy, but like it's real more hands-on than the Momir binders that I've been exposed to. That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's fast. I think I played. I can't remember where I was. I played someone that had at one of the events I was at. We played a couple of rounds. It was actually really cool. It's a really fast format. You just whip it out and start playing. So
yeah, absolutely.
Sounds right of the day.
It's a good old air quotes around format. It's fast. You can whip it out. All right. Well, as normally, I would try to waste half an hour telling you a story about some weird location that would end up to be a city. But
I got
to
inject my no, Maddie, nope, no.
I'm not doing it. But I'm not going to do that tonight because tonight I want to hear, as I did try to intro all of you for the show, which was pretty disappointing. But I hope by the end of this evening you've channeled some deep guttural liquor sour Kevy from sitting in his cave, and no, that's not puke, you're sitting in there. But I want to hear your best Kevy metal closeout. So let's see what you got, boys. TSG?
Oh, I'm up first here? Oh,
you are, man. That's exactly Kevy metal right there. Oh man, I can't think. What the hell, man?
No, I just need to trade for two more Blood Crypts, and then I'm going to put this other 4 casting cost card in my burn deck. It's going to be amazing. You'll just wait for it. I'm going to jam it all the time. No, I'll be like, you know what? Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
I think that's a fail. Jeremy?
I didn't like it.
I don't even know what I'm doing here. Fuck. Well, it's been fun, and go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That wasn't bad. Your initial thing almost sounded like what Kevy does. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. I was like, wow, that's really good. But then I realized you weren't interpreting, you weren't trying to impersonate him.
No, that was.
Oh, was it? Okay. I thought it was just really you going,
play it off that way.
Okay. It was excellent. Very good. And the man from down under, you can close the show out, my friend. Let's see what you got.
For the four of you in attendance and the hundreds listening to this around the world, go fuck yourself, San Diego!